Welcome to Grace Bible Church's Biblical Parenting Sunday School class. Couldn't think of a better name to call it than that, but that's kind of what it is until we come up with a better name. I figured I'd start off with a few housekeeping thoughts and explanation of what in the world you guys have gotten yourself into. We'll see, right? I want to give you a brief teaser of what we're going to get into, just to get your minds thinking about things that maybe you haven't thought of, just some terms, some thoughts, and things like that. So this is kind of like a pre-commercial before we get into the whole thing. Just say, okay, wow, I hadn't thought about this. So we're going to look at things like the sin nature, rebellion, rewards, the husband-wife relationship, discerning the abundance of the heart, behavior modification versus heart changes. We're going to look at the conscience, cultural spanking versus biblical chastisement, wisdom teaching. We're going to look at what is complete obedience, the problem with rules. We're going to talk about overprotective parenting, permissive parenting, the myth of teenage rebellion. We're going to talk about that, how to keep the gospel central in your parenting. We're going to talk about family identity, natural consequences, dealing with delayed obedience, childishness versus foolishness, active rebellion versus passive rebellion, teaching your children a Godward orientation, how to build a moral warehouse, the moral search mechanism, and it goes on and on and on. Did some of that kind of pique your interest? It's like, oh, I hadn't heard those terms, or wow, I wonder how that will relate to things. Maybe I've hit some hot buttons in this process, but I'm going to encourage you that you're not alone. If you don't know all this stuff, none of us really have parenting down 100%. I know we didn't. Your peers in this room are in the exact same boat. For some of you, this is going to be a brush up of some principles probably you've already learned. You've tried them, you've maybe tweaked them a little bit here and there, and it's not that you're going to be here alone. Maybe some of you maybe don't have kids, and you're wondering, man, do we even want kids? You're scared stiff. You're not going to have the slightest idea what to do when you have kids. Those are difficult things. So I want to go with some brief introductions here. First, I want to introduce each one of the couples here so that we at least know who you are and your kids that you have, because we don't all know each other that well. As the church grows, we like to do this. So if you could give me your name, your spouse, and then your kids and their ages, kids' names and their ages. Okay, so yourself, Daniel. It's hard to remember that, huh? What age they are. And yeah, good. Jeremy?
I'm Jeremy. This is my wife, Amy. We have no kids yet.
This is my wife, Kathy, and she had 7 kids, 6 plus me. So she survived it. Caesar?
My name is Caesar. This is my wife, Dana. We have 3 children, Josiah, Maya, and Elias, and they are 4, 2, and 9 months.
Great. And you're not busy at all. Right. Good.
Yeah, I'm Jim and my wife, Sarah. We have 3 kids. Basil, who's 15, Julia, 13, and Alina is 11.
Great. Robert?
I'm Robert. This is my wife, Allison. We have Caleb, who's 10, Joshua, who's 8, Isabel, who's 5, Alan, who's 3, Mike, who's 1, and we have halfway to 2.
Yay. Exciting. And that's, you get a gold star remembering their names and their ages. That's work when you start.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. And next to you, if you could introduce your other guest next to you. Great. And how many kids did you have, Candace?
2. Well, and she's also raising her grandson.
Oh, excellent. Really? Excellent. Well, great. Well, good to have you here. One last one, just your. A little bit about Kathy and I, just so you know us. We've been married 33 years. We had 6 kids. Their ages are 31, 29, 28, 26, 24, and 22. You add those all up, that's 160 years of parenting. Gray hair. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. 160 years of parenting. We've got two daughter-in-laws and one son-in-law, six grandchildren, and we have made plenty of mistakes. So you're going to hear about some of those. A little bit of our experience. We've struggled like you guys. We've been in the trenches. Our kids are not perfect. They're far from it. If you know any of them, you could agree with me. We've struggled with a nine-month-old that wasn't going to sleep through the night. We've had tensions in our marriage because of our kids. We come from completely different backgrounds. We'll be sharing a lot of our lives with you. In fact, Kathy's going to come up at different times and help out with some of the issues because she's more of the practical aspect of a lot of things and how things were done. Completely opposite parenting styles by our parents, and we're going to be talking a lot about that because it does affect you. We've had five teens in the home at once. And that's a good challenge. So yeah, those kind of things are fun. We started taking a parenting class about 30 years ago, and we've read a lot of information on the subject. We kept repeating and repeating the classes, not so much because we had more kids, but because I'm a very slow learner. It took me a long time for it to sink in, but with all that, we kept taking these courses, and we've been teaching on the subject now for about 28 years. And it's resulted with hundreds and hundreds of families that we have taught. And that we've watched them apply these principles at various different levels. And we've learned, we've added stuff to what we teach here. And that's why our heart is for parenting. We want to try to convey all that we can to you. Not just when to apply it, but we've had couples in our different series that we've had, and they'll come 2 to 3 weeks out of a 16-week series, and they go out and tell people, oh, you got to take this class. They're only there 2 weeks, and they didn't apply any of it. And it was really unfortunate that they didn't do that because we watched their kids grow up now. It's been 15, 16 years, and their kids rejected the gospel. So we've seen that, and we'd rather do everything we can to input into the lives of those that we love around us through our church family to see if there's ways that we can affect them. So we ask you first to try to make it here to every one of the classes if you can, to be consistent here. That's going to be real important. And we're also asking for a husband-wife relationship. And we realize that there are certain times when they're away or they've been to the class before. But it's really good if both of you are here because that way you get to hear what's going on. You get to hear it firsthand rather than I can just see the wife hearing something and coming home and telling her husband, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and this is messed up. That's not going to be healthy. So we want to protect your ribs by showing up here so you don't get hurt or they come back and beat you up for what you're not doing. A lot easier. You're going to be hearing from me, also from Kathy. She really has a lot of the contextual part for the day-to-day life, especially with you ladies. I mean, you're the ones often at home dealing with the children a lot more, fleshing this out in the trenches during the day. So she's going to input into that. We're going to provide written notes. You have a notebook there, and there will be pages added every single week as we get into it. I will have more books next week. If you guys didn't grab them, there's papers on the back as well, one set of papers and one set of books, if you had a book at least. We also are recording the sessions. We thought that'd be helpful. That will be online on our website, so I don't know exactly where, but I was told that that will happen. That can be helpful in case you miss one of these things. You can also find our contact information. We put it right on the front of the book there for you, so you have it. I want you to open that book, and the very front page, write your name on it, if you would. All of you are going to have books that look the same, and if one gets left here, I'd love to have a person it belongs to so that we get it back to you. I think that's important. You can find me and the other class members on GraceNet. How many of you guys have used GraceNet so far? Okay, great. That's great to see you guys are using it. That is a great tool. If you're not, it's really easy to set up your account. Just go to our Grace Bible Church website, the very bottom right-hand corner. There's a little icon there. Icon. I guess it is an icon. We have an icon as part of our church. That's interesting. I've never thought of that. There's a little symbol down there for GraceNet portal, and you can sign up real easy. I recommend that. If you want to get a hold of any of the leaders, in fact, our email address, our first name, just so you know this, it's first name and last initial at GBCOB. So Steve is Steve S at GBCOB. I'm Grant O at GBCOB. Just that's a little nice way in case you ever want to get a hold of one of the leaders here. Our phone number's on the front in case you need to reach us. Kathy has been fielding questions for moms for, gosh, about 25 years now. In fact, I know Jamie Hodell contacted you 12, 15 years ago about some parenting issues. Didn't even know her, so feel free to use that phone number. If it is after 11, just ask for Kathy. You're going to have times when you are frustrated, and that's okay. We don't mind those calls. We want to help you. We want to say, you know, you're at the wits end. What do I do with this kid? And we want to be there to help you. So don't be afraid. We're serious when we put that phone number on there. On some of our times here, we're going to have some group discussion time, one-on-one with your spouse sometimes about some of the issues. The idea here is to build a like-minded culture at Grace Bible Church. We want to be similar in the way that we're parenting together. And having been part of a church that did that and having your kids go over to other people's kids' houses, it really is a neat thing. So that's one reason why I make sure you guys get to know each other here. I'm going to say more about that in a few minutes. There is going to be some occasional homework, and it's not hard, and there's nothing due this week, don't worry. But Shepherding a Child's Heart is going to be the book that we're going to use as a basis for what we're teaching. The chapters are really easy reads, and if you're a parent, you're going to, oh, this is good stuff. You're going to want to read ahead. But there is going to be, it comes in a couple different versions of it, but this is going to be a real helpful tool for you. And I'll be giving you that homework. But right now your homework is to get the book if you can. If you don't have it, we're not going to die, but it will reinforce some of the things I'm saying. You're going to hear, oh, yeah, Grant just said that. It'll reinforce that. You can buy it. I think Amazon is like $12 is all. It's not much. Feel free to invite others to the class. Love to have them come. Love to spread the word here all that we can. But do know that we're going to be building on each week's material. So what we teach the first week will be built on the next week, and we're going to use that as a foundation for the next and the next. So it is kind of hard to jump in the middle of the class occasionally. It's like, well, what is he talking about? I don't understand that. And so I will try to repeat some, but I don't want to have to go too far back. It's hard to come up to speed. So I know when we first took our class, we had to sign up for a 18-week commitment that we would be there every week of 18 weeks, maximum, I think, of one. Otherwise, you're kicked out. It's like, whoo, and sign a commitment card. I'm not that militaristic. I've thought about it, but I'm not going to do that to you guys. Consistency here will allow you to be far better in your follow-through and to apply what you've learned. So that's why. I know it's cold. It's hot here now. We'll get some fans in next week. We do have some heaters, some space heaters, I think, next door we'll bring in. So we're going all the way through the end of December. And we may, skip a few weeks here and there, but we will take care of you with the climate in here the best we can. Sit close to the heater if you're one that gets cold real easy. That's important to do. There are some restrooms here. If an emergency, you want to use them, you can, but I'd prefer that you use the other ones in the main building so we don't have to clean these up each week. It's not just to minimize our footprint in here. Eventually, I can see we're going to have classrooms all in this thing Sunday morning because we're running out of room. So just if you need an emergency, you can certainly go in there and use that. We're very thankful to the Boys and Girls Club for letting us use this building. It's nice to have this space here. The class is built on quite a bit of information that we've gleaned over the years. I want to make a disclaimer on the onset that much of it, if not really, is not new material. It's somebody else's material. We're just regurgitating for you that we've either heard in video or read in books or places like that. Wiser teachers that have gone before us. So we're just taking a lot of their information and putting it into a nice big ball and wrapping it up for you to try and help you out. Of those, the first is Gary and Anne-Marie Ezzo. Some of you may have been trained under Growing Kids God's Way classes. Anybody here that your parents use that? Yeah. You guys? Yeah, yours did. Your parents? Yeah, they did. See, I know that. Shows you how much they applied it. No. Yeah, so some of you have heard of that stuff. We were actually in the very first class of that was ever taught, that Gary and Anne-Marie taught, and that became real popular in the 80s. There was a real push, a resurgence for parenting. I know many different churches and individuals were coming out with parenting series at that time. We were part of the very first class. They have a program called Baby Wise, or Prep for Parenting. Our kids were in that before we even had one of our kids. We were one of the very first ones that were trying this stuff and see how it works. So we've seen that. Also, they had a class called Moral Innocence on teaching your kids the facts of life. And we were in that one, and we've taught that one. So, and they have a teen class. There's a lot of material out there that we're going to glean from for that. Next person is Ted Tripp, and he's the author of the book we have here. He has a couple other ones, Instructing a Child's Heart, and books like that. He just had a conference here in town 2 weekends ago, I think it was. Yeah, Friday and Saturday. And it was great to have him in town to hear his heart. And we got to drive him to the airport afterwards, 2.5 hours, and kind of picked his brain, which was great before this class to do that. We got right up front, right for you. We do that for anybody who's late. And if you're late next week, we're making you sit up front. He was in town, and just to hear his heart for parenting, and then also to see the similarity between the material, we asked him, hey, a lot of it sounds like growing kids is, oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of tie-in. He had used this stuff in the past, growing kids. So it is kind of like a building on it. And we like Ted's material a lot better there. So just if you wonder, hey, this sounds a lot familiar, we asked him about it finally and got affirmative answer. His brother Paul Tripp also has influenced us. A lot of good information he's written, Age of Opportunity. So we've tied some of that in. John MacArthur had a series, Successful Christian Parenting, that got some good information. There's a lot of books out there. Even MacArthur did a video series, 28 years ago, something like that. It was his first parenting video series, and yours truly, my wife, was in that as a single mom because I was gone. So we've been a part of that. John, we got a couple seats here. Oh, okay. All right. Rather than simply showing a video here, we thought it'd be better to pour our lives into you, to really give you the practical aspects of what's going on here, to see the biblical constructs being worked out and discussing them. So that's kind of the reason we're not just, okay, we turn on a video and watch that. We've been there, we've done that, we've made plenty of mistakes, but we've seen what works and doesn't work in a lot of ways, and there is hope. I mean, to see a young child and think, man, what is the future for this child? And I fear for my own grandkids with what's going on in the world. There's a much greater dichotomy between those who love the Lord and those who don't. And it's only going to get worse. But there is hope there. We can't say that we went through any terrible twos. We can't say that we've ever had any doors slammed by angry children in our house. Never happened. We've had very, very few temper tantrums, if ever, with some of our kids. We didn't experience any teenage rebellion or any outward rebellion from our kids. We actually raised kids that others wanted to be around. It's easy to be around your own kids. You can put up with anything. But for others to like them, that was kind of fun. But more importantly, and this is only by God's grace, all our children now appear to be walking with the Lord and exhibiting a desire for greater sanctification. Now, we can't guarantee that. We're going to get into that. The Bible has very specific instructions and principles, but we can't guarantee that. But we can set the setting. We can provide the environment that will help with these things. The Bible doesn't give specific instructions to things we deal with. It does give guidelines and boundaries with which we should work. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Children, obey your Lord, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There are verses that are going to give us a lot of help there. Parenting is a theological discussion, and it should be based on a biblical worldview. And that's where we're going to start our foundation. Whether your children are newborns, you don't have any, or if they're teens, like some of you guys have teens, without a proper biblical worldview, we can easily be taken captive by other philosophies, and we want to be cautious of that. After the traditions of men, as it says in Colossians 2. How many of you have already read the book, Shepherding a Child's Heart? Have you guys already read it? That's great. So most of you have already read it. That's a great start. So we're going to be on a real easy foundation with a lot of this stuff. How many of you have read it in the last year? Okay, so we got a couple of in the last year. That's great, because that does change here. Sometimes we found that as our children grew in age and maturity, we needed to keep going back to our foundations to readjust our parenting. And with multiple kids, it's different with each one, right? You guys got multiple. Every single one with a lot of kids, you have to look at each one individually. And it takes a lot of prayer, a lot of work. So we're going to work through that. This class is going to be far more than just a regurgitation of shepherding a child's heart. Hopefully, it's going to make you think. We want to take Scripture and have you help you build biblical goals that are going to make Christ the center of your child's life and knowing Christ from the heart. That's what we're trying to do. But we're quickly going to learn that it must first be in our hearts. We as parents cannot properly guide them or expect them to embrace these principles if we don't first have it in our hearts. And so I'm going to be pounding Deuteronomy 6 into you guys about every week here. This is going to help us guide them through the important foundations to get to the heart of the behavior. Many people have children, but they don't want to be parents. Let me repeat that. Many people have children, but they don't want to be parents. Our culture has convinced us that we need to quench our appetites for personal fulfillment. Thus, parents spend a minimal amount of time with their children. And in Christian circles, we actually we can make our children little gods and center everything around them. And so there's two opposites there. Sadly, we have couples come into our classes really wondering if it's worth it to have children at all. We've had this happen because they've seen all this heartache and think, I don't even know if I want to have kids. That's pretty sad that our world's gotten that way. So we want to instill some hope in you that God does provide a pattern to enjoy peace and harmony within your own home. That the terrible twos or, oh, wait for the teens, you don't have to deal with that. That's what the world's view is that it's going to be terrible. It's going to be these, oh, wait till they turn a teenager. We should have a completely different worldview that's driving our thoughts. Children nowadays, they don't fear consequences from talking back to authority. And we watch this through all the structures of society where they're shooting cops. I mean, they've just eliminated a lot of that for some reason. So we want to empower them to be self-controlled people living freely under the authority of God. That's what we're trying to do, is get them to be that way. This class is not a discussion. It's not going to be, well, I think this, and we think that's not kind of the idea. You likely, because you've probably already read a number of different authors and have quite a few parenting ideas, we're going to have plenty of time for Q&As, but I just want to make sure we know that it's not a challenge of different things here. We had it as one of our goals. In fact, you know, let me go ahead and write down, what are some goals that you have in your parenting? I'm going to write them on a sheet here, and we're going to come back and look at these in a couple months. So what are some goals? I'll go ahead and write those down now. Any goals you have in your parenting? Raising godly children, okay. Next, I'm sure you guys have more goals than that.
Well, they would truly have that love and that their own relationship with the Lord.
True love and... I'm assuming you're meeting with Christ. Okay. Get him first. Fear and respect God, huh? Good. Good.
Yeah. You touched on it a second ago, having a proper fear and respect for authority, period.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, Vanessa.
How to start a foundation of all of these with toddlers and little ones.
Okay. Good. Boy, you guys are got it. Has it got the pump going?
Raising children who know how to live out the gospel life.
Okay. Live out the gospel, not just head knowledge. Sorry, my writing is terrible. Yeah, Jason. Right. So it's almost... So it's defying the norm. You know, and that does speak a lot. If you have kids that defy the norm, what's going to happen when people see them? What are they going to do? Hey, how did you do that? Exactly. They're going to ask. And what does that lead to? A gospel conversation. There's the key. Now, that's what we're after. Your kids are your entree to share the gospel with people if they're living it out. Think of your kids acting the same as others and being absolute hoodlums running around. Gee, let me tell you about Christ. Get over here, kid. Why are you doing that? And Christ did this for me, too. That's not going to work very well. So, good. Any more? Well, that's a good start. We're going to have a lot of them. We had a tangible goal with our parenting, and that was that by age 12, our kids were no longer accountable to us, but they were accountable to God for their actions. I don't know why we put that magic number in there, but somewhere around that age is where we want to say, you know what? We don't need to be their parents setting all the rules and objectives. We want them to have trained within them self-control and self-autonomy that we start with our leadership in charge of everything. We are the Gestapo, and you will do everything you want, to the point that where they get older, well, now they no longer have to have us telling them that. They are autonomous in that they set their own rules based upon, and their lives are now governed by Christ and God and his actions and what the Word of God says. But you need to exercise authority over them. It's a biblical mandate. Your parenting goal can't just be well-behaved children. That's just not what we're after here. Your children must understand, here's another one, why they sin, and to recognize internal change that's necessary, how to do that. So we want them to see their sin. We want them to recognize that, hey, I need a Savior. I am a sinful individual. With all that preface, now we can get started. Biblical foundation for parenting. So first principle we're going to look at here is to be teachable. Be teachable. Psalms and the Proverbs are filled with verses where the psalmist asks to be taught. Psalm 25, 4 and 5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." So we are looking to be taught. We have to be teachable. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth." Again, we're looking for being taught. Psalm 119, it's just a plethora of teach me, teach me, teach me all throughout that whole book. It's a great one to read. John 14:26, Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples about his death, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So there's some teaching that we need to be ready for. Parents, so many parents are not teachable. They have this set in their mind what they're going to learn, and they're on this track, and they're not teachable. You must be teachable in this area for biblical principles. We're going to talk later about wrestling with the patterns you were taught by your parents. And for some of you, this is going to be difficult because maybe you had a very difficult childhood. Maybe you had parents who were just terrible, overbearing, and you have unresolved childhood fears and conflicts and disappointments from that. Those patterns might now be driving some wrong thinking related to this. Either you're going in this, you say, "I'm going to go in the same direction," or you want to go polar opposite from it. So between you and your spouse, this is going to bring some conflict. We're going to need to deal with that. It's going to take a biblical balance on the right place to be. You may not have even considered what the Bible said about implementing biblical view into this process, and now you're getting to that point. Others of you, that you may just continue to build on a godly heritage that your parents gave you. I mean, you may have had great parents and great grandparents, and the foundation has been set right there. And so you're going to be building on that. That's a good thing to do. You've got to be teachable to what the scriptures say, not what I say, but what the scriptures say regarding the issues of parenting and raising your children. So that's principle one. Number two is be searching. Be searching. It is your duty as parents to be searching the Bible regularly for wisdom for your life, for your kids' life, for parenting. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Anybody who went to Awana's knows all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Right. And those are important things for us to have there, to know that. Men, we're going to do a whole class just on your responsibilities in this process, how you need to be searching the scripture. We're going to do one just on that. Wisdom comes from knowledge properly applied. I'll repeat that. Wisdom comes from knowledge properly applied. So it's your duty to learn what the scripture says. And there's two different thoughts that our minds work under in our world now. We have a Hebrew mind and a Greek mind that's used. The Greeks held to views because they formulated and reasoned in their minds, in their heads, what things should be. The Hebrews, instead, they believe things that they did with their hands. We did it, and therefore that's the way it turned out. Regarding raising children, they began with a biblical foundation and then followed what God had instructed them to do. So they would just physically do things with their kids. The Greeks, instead, though, they postulated things that would happen based upon what their mind thinks the outcomes would be, and then from that they built their beliefs and how things would be worked out. So it's a whole different way about going things, physically doing what God tells you to do and watching the results versus I'm thinking it's this way and I'll end up that way, and next thing you know they're heading in a different direction that's now driven by a purpose and a view that is not godly. Christian Overman, in his book Assumptions That Affect Our Lives, here's what he wrote. Here then is the basic difference between the Hebraic view of truth and the Greek view. The Greeks based their culture upon the assumption that human reasoning was a sufficient starting point for determining truth, measuring values, and molding morality. While the Hebrews based their culture upon the assumption that divine revelation was the only sufficient starting point for such things. There's a big difference between those two. Only what God's given us is the foundation where we start. Yeah, man has some other things that can help us as we watch what happens. You know, you put your hand down, you hit it with a hammer, it hurts. Well, there's a cause and effect. We figure that out. It doesn't say in the Bible if you hit your finger with a hammer. Maybe it does somewhere, but those are things that you learn. As opposed to the Greeks, they would start with, oh, well, I think this about kids and they're naturally going to be good, but they get all these bad things around them and that's why they're bad. A great verse that addresses this, or series of verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Or take Grace Bible Church's, our main verse here, Colossians 1, 28. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be making mature in Christ. Our job is to mature others in Christ, and that's what we're doing here, part of that. So number two was to be searching. Number three is be aware. Be aware. This is a really important parenting verse, and we're gonna get to this a number of times. Colossians 2, 8, and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, we'll kind of take this thing apart. First, the word beware. Beware is to be on guard. The word there actually used is robbery. It has to do with robbery, when there's a robbery going on. Well, if you knew a robbery is going on, what would you do? I mean, you're going to be aware. If men, if you knew that somebody was going to be coming into your house tonight to break in and steal stuff, what would you do? You'd be standing up with your shotgun ready at the front door all night. Ladies, if you're out with your kids in the playground and they're playing in the sand and you see a big chunk of glass sitting there, it's real sharp, what are you going to do? Ah, there's a piece of glass. I'm going to go remove that. We're being aware of what's around us there. So be aware. Thus any man spoil you. Spoil, the word spoil there, that's not as in rottenness. We think of some food gets spoiled. That's a word of to take captive. You think of the spoil that was taken during wars when they'd go in and take over a city and they would take the spoil from it. That's what Satan's after. He's after those valuable things, which is your children's and their hearts and their lives. Beware that any other man will spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is literally the love of wisdom. And this involves more than just an academic view or academic disciplines, but it describes the theory about God, the theory about the world, the meaning of life. These are the things that are going to be taken captive through other ways. There's other views of life. There's other views of the way that that God rules. And this is where we see differences in biblical worldview versus other godless worldviews. It's a very strong dichotomy. So we got to be watching for parenting philosophies that are not in agreement with Scripture. And these are all over the place. Thousands of books and articles are being written every single year, published annually on parenting. Most of them contradict God's Word. I mean, you look at it, I don't see how that would agree with Scripture. Even within the church, many humanistic philosophies have crept in and continue to creep in. They have sugar coating, which is a few Bible verses, but it doesn't match with the principles of a God-centered world. They don't align with the totality of Scripture. Be very cautious with authors you read. Now, I'm not saying don't read other authors. Don't read other things that are not specifically the few, you know, us four no more, shut the door people that you like to listen to. But it's good to read those, but you read them with an eye thinking, okay, what's this guy's worldview? Where's he coming from in this? Taking a look and comparing it to Scripture. I was given a book when I was at another church by one of the leaders, and hey, read this book. I think it's going to be good for your parenting class. It was Have a New Kid by Friday. It was written by some biblical author. Well, basically, it was all behavior-based. It said how to get your child to change and do what you want, but it was all driving their behavior. And basically, we're going to talk about the thing. It was, you can get your teen to do anything you want if you just learn how to bribe them just the right way. Sad. It came from a worldview that said that it's behavior-driven, not heart-driven. Or how about the ads on the radio? I think it was a couple years ago. You hear those ads, a total transformation system. If you just say these special four words after listening to our tape, you will learn how to get your child to do exactly everything you wanted. Just send $39.95 right now. You hear these things. Or you'll get it for free if you for the first 50 subscribers. That's crazy. That's crazy to do that. It's very world-oriented. Tell me, if you were having problems with your kids, and on one side of you, you have a guy who has a PhD psychology in child raising, child psychology. And this guy, I mean, he's just got the degrees up the other, and he does all these people that he counsels. And And you have some problems, and you look at his family. He's got a kid that's wayward. He's got a kid that's not, slams doors and yells and drives off and races out of the neighborhood, and you hear all these words and stuff going on. Okay. On the other side, maybe you have an oil worker who's works maybe two jobs, works like crazy, but man, you see peace and harmony in that family. You see kids that are obedient. You see them saying yes, sir, to you, and yes, ma'am, and they're really, really kind. Which one do we typically turn to look for advice? We go to this guy. It's sad. It's sad. We don't realize that what's the outcome of what they're doing. If they can't do it on their own, then why would we trust them with our own kids' lives? So to me, that's real important. And I know as I looked at the parenting classes that we were taking, we tried to look at what the kids were doing. That kind of gave us an idea what the outcome's going to be. Because if they say one thing and it turns out the other, you've got a Greek mind instead of a Hebrew mind. That's important. So number three was to be aware. These philosophies are out there. Number four, be consistent. Be consistent. And parenting is not easy. Being lazy is. It's very easy to be lazy. You're going to need to keep a steady course for years. Sometimes you're going to be wondering, when will this sink into this kid's mind? Don't they get it at all? You're in there for the long haul. It's not just 18 years and then they move away. You're in here well beyond that. Our goal is based on a long-term relationship with our children. We want to be lifelong friends with them and mature together into adulthood. How many of you would consider your parents as one of your best friends? Isn't that neat? For those of you who can, some of you say, no, I really don't. I don't. You know, I look at my parenting, at my dad who's still around, and he's not one of my best friends. It's kind of like an obligatory thing after a while. That's not the way it should be. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." This might be a verse you need to pull out regularly whenever you're having one of those days. He will give me the strength. I cannot do this on my own. One of the guys that did a video on parenting said, you must be what you want them to become. So you must be what you want them to become. That takes work. It takes consistency to do that. That's why we ask for a husband-wife relationship. It's hard for one parent to hear information, expecting the other to agree to it and put it into practice. Parenting is both parents, if at all possible. And with single parents, we've done a lot of single parents in our classes and to help them get to that point. Or even with unsaved spouses. There's ways that God will help with all this, but we can't presume on that. We do this for the sake of consistency. Your parenting practices should be a constant item of discussion between the two of you. That's how you get to be consistent. So when you have those times when you're chatting, when you go out on dates, and we're going to talk about that as well, that's often what you're going to be talking about. Say, okay, how do we do this? Hey, our son did this, and how should we maybe have come up with a better way? You're making this part of your conversation. It's important. That's how you become consistent. Number five, be goal-oriented. Be goal-oriented. We're not talking about behavior goals here. We talked about that already. You should set goals for your children's behavior in terms of moral responses and also their desire for the Lord. So we had a goal to having our children be of a greater impact to the kingdom than we are. So we want to see them grow to the point that they are going to affect more lives, and who knows where God's going to send them out. We need to show them that their greatest need is for a Savior and to point them to Christ. That's one of our major goals there. Our top priority, therefore, is to be an evangelist in the home. Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure and whether it be right." How many third-generation Christians do you know? Where the parents were Christians, the kids were Christians, the third are now still following after Christ? Do you see many of those? I mean, you look at some of your friends. There's not many. But what a testimony it is when they do. I think of John MacArthur. His parents and their parents were all pastors, and his kids have followed after Christ, and theirs kids, I know my daughter has some of them in their class, and they're following after Christ. It's just neat to watch multi-generation. That is a rare thing. We need to have some hope there in this opportunity. Parenting used to be a joy and not a burden. I can say it was a joy. We had fun. Yeah, there were times of difficulty. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." I mean, that's what we want. These are joyous little things here. And they can sometimes be little terrors, and they'll drive us crazy, even when they're older. But we can remain faithful in this if we're goal-oriented. Number six, be like-minded. Be like-minded. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." The companion of fools will be destroyed. So find like-minded parents to mutually encourage you. That's real basic. Have your kids hang around with other kids who are being taught on the same type of a basis there. We think that's important. Challenge each other with the principles of Scripture. So your kids are playing there at the park, and you're talking biblical principles. You need to be careful how much time your child spends with those who constantly berate your parenting practices. Sometimes you'll send them someplace, and they're getting these other world views from other people. You may very well find that the world and even the church sometimes might be saying the exact opposite to what you're telling them in some very specific areas of parenting. Possibly it's even your parents. I know we had a hard time sending our kids to our parents' house and leaving them because all they did was just leave the TV on, and it was garbage. So we had to set some rules, and that was hard to do that. But Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. I don't want my kids to be destroyed. I'm going to avoid those things. While taking this class, you're going to see specific behaviors in your friends' kids. And you're going to want to distance yourself from them. You're going to say, you know what? I don't want to have my kids hang around those kids. Just be aware of their differences. I'm not saying completely stay away from anybody who sins or kids sin. That's the way they do it. But if you know what their worldview is and you can talk to that worldview, you can align them with them. I'm not saying totally isolate your kids from the rest of the world. It's insulate them. So you put around them what's needed while they're out there in that type of a situation. That's what we're going to be working through here. And it is hard to go challenge other parents that you think are like-minded. It's hard to do that. I know sometimes you lose friends over that. So you have to be very cautious when you do that. We had some friends that we did a lot of stuff together. And when it came to parenting, they had kids and we had kids. And we went off on a trip together and camping. And, oh, man, it's like, wow, we don't want our kids around them anymore. We just backed off of that because we saw the way that they were parenting. It's like, this just is not where we want to have our kids regularly around them. It wasn't healthy. Okay, number 7, be faithful. Be faithful. There's going to be times when you doubt yourself and following through with the course of action. You know, I set this course of action to do this because my child's acting this way, and you know, I don't want to stick to it anymore. I need to stop, and I can't do that, and I'm just going to go bribe them and get them to do what I want them to do. You're going to wonder if they ever get it right. I've come home before and I've found my children on the front porch with a for sale sign on them before. It's like, I'm done. I've had it. These kids are beyond help here. It worked. Thankfully, I showed up first. It's so much harder to work on their heart than their behavior. It's so much harder. But I tell you, the joys out of that is so much better. God is faithful to do his work, but he's under no obligation to extend his grace to parents who fail to follow his word. Hosea 4:6 says, seeing thou have, this is a scary verse. Hosea 4:6, seeing thou have forgotten the law of the God, I will also forget thy children. Ouch. Ooh. Wow. You can't plant a field full of weeds and then pray for crop failure and expect wheat to come up. It just doesn't work that way. That's not the way it's designed. I just, 2 days ago, I've been dealing with a client of mine who we've known for 20-some years. Well, I've known him for longer than that, but we went and visited him some 20-some years ago. His kids were young. Our kids were young. Went water skiing together. And he's been struggling, having a lot of struggles. And he sent me an email. Basically, his son took over his business and basically stole the business from him. And now is running this thing as if his own. And they're just butting heads, having all kinds of legal action against each other, and they're not allowed to see each other. What do they call that? A court actions, and you know, staying away, all that stuff. It's just a huge mess, and it's all over money. And so I finally have been able to let me go and act as an arbitrator in some way, shape, or form to try to bring some caution and semblance to this thing, because lawyers are going to get all the money, and they're both going to be broke, and I lose a client. Not that that's the purpose of it, but so I wrote him back a letter. I says, Jay, what you're doing here, do you realize the longevity of this? Either your child is not saved, and therefore you're treating him terribly in the way that you're acting around him, or he is saved, and you're not treating him like you're going to be seeing him someday in heaven. And it was just a great gospel opportunity to bring it back into it. And he said in his stuff, unless God tells him, he's a Christian, and he told me all this, you know, that he loves the Lord, blah, blah, blah. Unless God tells me otherwise, I need to go in this direction. I says, yes, God has told you. And here's the verses specifically where he told you this is wrong. I says, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13. What is love? And I just pounded these things back at him. And I told him, you need to read the book of James. I just blah all over them. You call yourself a Christian, but you're not obeying these principles. This is what happens when you're not being faithful long-term in your parenting process, and he messed it up in the early parts, and now he's got a child that's just hating his guts. And the son calls, and he talks to me, and, oh, my dad cussed me out at this, and he yells at me for this, and he treats me like dirt and says that you're not worth anything. It's like, man, what a mess. So I told my friend Jay, the dad, I says, you need to humbly repent. You need to come to your son and tell him you are sorry, and then true repentance, forget it, drop it, you're done. And if it means that you don't have any money left and he stole your whole business, you have nothing and you have to live poor, man, wouldn't it be better to go into eternity that way? Wouldn't it be better to have a right relationship with your son? This is sad because he chose not to be faithful. So that's what's going to happen exactly to you if you don't. No, I'm just. Number eight, be honest, be honest. Never be afraid to admit when you've made a mistake. It's real easy to make mistakes here. Something I've learned so much more of this material. I wish I would have repented to my kids more often. I wish I would have asked them their forgiveness for things I did when I wasn't consistent in areas. I wish I would have seen my sin, not just their sin more. And we're going to get into that a lot more here. Your honesty to God and your children is going to be one of the greatest factors for your and their learning. You're both going to learn as you are honest with them. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I had to ask forgiveness often of my kids. Do you model this aspect, this characteristic in front of them? Proverbs 22:17 says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to knowledge. That's a good verse there. Or Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. Isn't that great? That's where we should be doing our boasting. That's where we need to be honest about ourselves. And another thing here is during this class, don't fear that we're going to be watching your kids and judging them. Ah, write down my notes this way, what I saw Aaron's kids doing. Or, Vanessa, I saw your daughter Molly doing. No, we're not going to be doing that. That's not the idea of this. I know that's a nice threat for me to give sometime, is have somebody else teach here while I go watch your kids in the nursery. And wherever they're at, and you go, wait a minute, I'm going to go back and get my kids. Don't do that. No, we're not going to do that. That's not the idea here. The idea is we are here to help come alongside you, to watch you. We're not perfect. None of us are. So hopefully this gives you guys some hope, some interest in the rest of the class, what we're going to be going through. We've got about 3 minutes or so for any questions you have, and then we're going to get out of this heat and get into the air conditioning room.